Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy, we're at that time of the year when we're overwhelmed with requests about information. So, information about travel. I guess everyone's thinking about it.
It's that time of the year. It's so exciting.
It's funny. It amps up every spring.
Yes.
You get email after email. And so it's kind of, let's just dedicate a program to a lot of travel information.
Because we've been fortunate to do a lot of traveling through Spain, Italy, and France.
We've done a lot for research for restaurants, and it's not that it was the hardest or the I guess there are parts of it that were rigorous.
There's nothing like getting off of a plane from Baltimore or Washington, where we always fly out of D.C. or out of Philadelphia, into Paris, going directly to the train station in the airport at Charles de Gaulle, waiting for like 3 or 4 hours to get on the train, and then a 3.5-4 hour train ride down to Avignon, down to the southern part of France. And this is all right after the plane. And then when we get there, then we rent a car, drive up to Châteauneuf or wherever, go into the southern Rhone.
Depending upon how hungry I am, it's anywhere from an hour
exactly.
to 30 minutes.
Thank God for Tony's hunger motivation, because he drives really fast, and then we get somewhere.
Very safely.
Yeah, but. Oh yeah. And we get there, and we maybe eat, and then we have, 5 appointments with winemakers. And we're all just trying not to fall asleep while we're standing there tasting wine. Mm-hmm. But it's awesome. And then it's go. So, but the trips are amazing.
I'm sure that in my focus, I've never attempted to slap somebody awake.
No, never. No, but we've met with some amazing people, and it's fun to share those experiences that we've had, because they are pretty unusual.
Well, a chance to be in places that, the thing that happens when we get the requests, it's always, I'm going on a trip, I'm really excited to go. Great, that makes perfect sense. I'm going to these 4 cities, and this is the entirety of our trip, which is marvelous, but it essentially, if the city is a big city, we may, as far as trips we've taken for work and for research, there may be a flight out, and so you have maybe one meal. Places we have the least intelligence about in most of Europe are really the big cities, except in this first segment, we're going to talk a bit about France and especially about Paris, because you keep great notes on what to do in Paris, and you have a very special love affair with Paris and the experience there. So,
well, when you're talking about the fact that we're not in the cities that much, it's because we are meeting with winemakers on our trips.
Meeting with winemakers, seeing how people work in smaller restaurants in the regions, trying to understand regional cooking.
Exactly.
Trying to understand different types of hospitality and regionality in different places in different nations and different cultures, and they all have particular histories, and it's hard to, if you go to a big modern city, regardless of its history, you're always going to have something that's an amalgamation of a bunch of pieces of culture and history. When you go to a little bit smaller place or a lot smaller place, you're going to get very particular personal stories and histories, and oftentimes that essence of that truth that you get from that experience is great fuel for when we take staff to have that experience for the first time. And great fuel and motivation for us to try to share and to translate that for our clients. So
absolutely. Well, and also we've been traveling to Europe now, or especially to France now, for 20 years. And, we have also seen it change a great deal. And I'm very thankful for the experiences that we've had all along the way. But particularly, I feel like sometimes the experiences from 20 years ago, because the food was a little bit more regional, a little bit more pure. And when you have the advent of cell phones and the internet and everything that brings Facebook, everything that brings the world much closer together, you have a little less purity in a culture and in a cooking, in cooking of a region. That's one of the things that is so exciting about, as you're commenting on, is understanding the regional cooking. And as long as that is still really pure, you're really, really understanding history of that region.
One of the things that, in that second segment, I made a list of favorite places. And a lot of my favorite places, I didn't write down a million attractions. I didn't write down a million restaurants, because restaurants can be found and advice can be given, and that's easy. If you're staying in a good hotel with a good concierge, you're going to get good information depending upon how the quality of information you give them. The thing about some of these small hotels in particular is that they're family run, that there is a multi-generational history, that there's a truth to the place. And it's maybe it's kind of weird, but if you're sleeping in a place and eating food in a place that like is entirely built on hosting people in the way that, you know, is the heart of that region, of that place, of that particular town or, you know, locale, that I don't know, maybe it's my touchy-feely side.
No, it's a window into the soul of that culture, basically.
Thank you for translating my touchy-feely
side. I absolutely understand what you're saying, and that's what I love about traveling. I mean, I've wanted to travel to Europe since I was a little girl, and it is absolutely magical and everything you want it to be. It's because of its history, because of its age, because of wars and whatever have created the landscapes. You know, you can still see buildings that are over a thousand. I mean, you know, if you go to L'Orange, there the Roman theater there is one of the best preserved theaters. And I mean, you can still go there and see performances, and that's from, you know, 26.
Well, and it's, you know, it's 26 AD. And yeah. let's hear some of your tips on regional France. What are some of your favorite things?
So I just brought up L'Orange, so let's just talk about that region, the southern Rhone Valley.
So Orange is in Provence, but northern Provence, kind of poor Provence. But that's most of that is the better wine-growing Provence. Châteauneuf-du-Pape is the most famous wine from that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are your favorite things in that area?
A lot of different things. So we've talked about Rochegude before, and so I'll just quickly mention it. It is when the popes were seated in Avignon is it the 1400s? Or the 1200s?
1305.
Okay, somewhere between 1200 and 1400, yeah. Maybe
Clement
1305.
Clement moved the papacy in 1305.
Thank you,
to
sir.
Avignon.
Okay, there we go. That's what Tony's for. the popes were seated in Avignon in 1305. They had their summer home in Châteauneuf-du-Pape, and that.
Do you know why
palace,
they had their summer home in Châteauneuf?
Yeah, because it was bloody hot in Avignon, and they needed to get out of the hot city and away from the smell, most likely.
Yeah,
that's why everybody had summer homes.
Medieval hygiene meets Provençal summertime temperatures
and
close
the way,
quarters. Yeah.
And by the way, the Palais de Pape in Avignon.
Oh, and Avignon is great to
is
see.
It's amazing to see. So, and that would be, I mean, if I had children, I would absolutely take them there because I think it's just gorgeous and amazing to see this really old architecture. And then you go up to Châteauneuf, which is probably about, it depends on how you go. It's about 25 minutes, maybe 40, north of Avignon. Oh, by the way, and also Avignon has one of the best markets in France. So if you can be there in Avignon, and it is a major city or a city, that market, I've never been to that market. I've always wanted to go to that market. That will be my goal the next time go in the summertime.
It's a combination of, you know, French products from north of, from Provence and north, but also Mediterranean product gets there.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So it's an incredible market. And that's one of the other really cool things about being in the country is I've been on trips where I did my day trips around the markets in each area. So every day there is a market within, you know, let's say an hour and 15 minutes of whatever little village you're in. So one of my favorite markets is Baume de Venise. And also you and I have stayed. We rented a house in that area one time. Actually, I just came across the notes for that, and that was a total nightmare. We rented a house that was awful. I'm sure
it's
you can do better
house.
Than we did.
Yeah.
But it was amazing to be there. We were up in the Dentelles, which are these mountains that look just like teeth, and they're gorgeous, and it's a beautiful area. And a great trip is you can easily go from Châteauneuf or Rochegude to Baume de Venise on a you know, like an hour or less. Go to Baume de Venise, hit the village, check everything out. Great little tiny places to eat, beautiful little pastry shop up in the village. The market is absolutely one of my favorites. You can go hit a winemaker in the village area and then go up to Suzette. And actually, the ideal thing would be to go to market, buy some cured meats, bring a knife, you know, buy a knife somewhere, do whatever, get some cheese, get some bread, whatever you'd like to eat, get some fresh vegetables from some fruit or something, and pack a picnic and go up to Suzette. Suzette, the drive is amazing.
Suzette is actually
oh
the one
gosh,
thing that sounds
so pretty
that you can spell easily.
Suzette, Suzette. Yeah. And and also if you're a biker, you can bike up there. You have to be in good shape. That is one serious mountain to climb, but it's a beautiful region. I'm in love with that region. And then another good day trip from Rochegude or Chateauneuf is Vaison-la-Romaine, and this is an old Roman village, so tremendous history. It's built, the village is built up on the hill or the mountain, whatever you want to call it.
Pretty famously beautiful village.
Oh my gosh. There's a beautiful river that runs through the village. There is tons of great little shops and great little restaurants, plenty of places to sit outside. But my favorite restaurant there is Moulin à Huile, and so it was an old olive mill, and it is along the river. And he has the chef is Robert Bardot. He is has been awarded many French medals for his cooking. He's probably in his early 80s, and he has this tiny little kitchen out back, and the door's almost always open. It's sort of a dream kitchen for a chef. It's tiny, but you can see him working. It's almost like he's cooking outside. The terrace is lovely. You're right along the river. I can wax poetic for a long time about this town. It is brilliant. It is beautiful.
So Vaison-la-Romaine is a great visit down mm-hmm. there. Chateauneuf-du-Pape, the village itself.
By the way, the ruins there in Chateauneuf-du-Pape, you know, obviously an ancient building, but or a very old building. But during World War II, that building was bombed dramatically, unfortunately.
I think there was the Germans stored munitions in it.
Oh,
the
I
Germans
thought it was
stored,
bombed.
They stored munitions in it, and when they vacated, they blew it up.
Oh, that was, yeah. So, unfortunately, there's very little. I mean, it's basically a corner of two outside walls, but it is still brilliant to see, and the view from up there is gorgeous. And you get to walk up through the village to go up to it, and Vergers-du-Pape is up there, right next to it, and you have...
Do not wear a hat.
No, it's very windy up there. Yeah, don't wear anything that might blow it, right? Oh my God. So you sit on the terrace. If you sit inside, it's nowhere near as fun. The terrace is really beautiful, and the view is amazing of the valley, the Rhone Valley. You can see the Rhone River. You can see off in the distance to see Mont Ventoux, which is always snow-capped. You can point it out or recognize it immediately. By the way, you can also drive up to Mont Ventoux. It is absolutely drivable. So that would be another really cool day trip in that region. Obviously, I'm in love with this region. I've been there many times.
If you're a fan of the Tour de France, Mont Ventoux is always like the worst stage. There's always a stage on Mont Ventoux that kind of separates the...
Okay.
The substance abusers from the normal humans. If you can see a stage go by in a town that you're in, if you're on your travels, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And there's another restaurant very close to, it's maybe 10 minutes from Rochegude, which is called Côte Sud. And it's just another, it's a cute little place. A husband and wife own
it. It's a solid little restaurant.
Yeah, he's the chef. She runs the front. It's beautiful. The interior design is very pretty. It's very small. They have a lovely garden area, which is actually their parking lot. And you can't believe how gorgeous it is. Again, if the Mistral is blowing, you're gonna lose some stuff while you're sitting there. Mm-hmm. But their food is really, really beautiful. So that's another great place to go and an easy place to hit on for lunch on your way to someplace. I need you to remind me of something, Tony. We went to a little village and we went to market there, and they have a lot of great antique stores there. And I am completely forgetting the name of that village. And the first time we were there, I think it was wintertime because it was so cold when we went to market along the river there. Île-sur-la-Sorgue. That's what it's called. S-O-R-G-U-E is the last word. It's another good day trip from that region, and especially from Rochegude. And it's a very big market day there as well. So it's a great place to go. You and I have eaten in restaurants. I've eaten there with my niece at different restaurants that are really amazing. And that's another fantastic day trip. So there's a lot to do.
So, Sin, there are so many regions that are fun to visit, and obviously that northern part of Provence is a favorite one for you. I love that area, too. Is there another one that you recommend that people check out and the stuff that they could see or do?
Mm-hmm.
What else makes you excited?
I think one of the other favorites is Beaune, which is, you know, for us, it's Paris to Beaune.
So the heart of Old Burgundy.
Right. And one of your favorite, I'll just mention one of your favorite restaurants, which is Ma Cuisine. And when we've been there, we've
I enjoyed convincing you that was a terrific restaurant.
Yes, you did, because I don't like the interior of that restaurant. I never have. And there's just something about that place that always, I want things to be old when I'm there. That's my problem. So it's a little too modern in there for me. It's just me. It's just me. I want old all the time. And then,
when you close your eyes, the cooking.
Oh, yeah, the cooking is so amazing.
And
the
cellar.
Wine list is, the cellar is so amazing.
The name of the restaurant, Ma Cuisine, means my kitchen.
Yeah, and every time we're in there, it's a tiny restaurant, and every time we're in there, it's full of some of the best importers of wine that often from the United States. I mean, I met the pastry chef, the original pastry chef from La Panisse. I'm sorry, Chez Panisse, when we were there. And the other thing I would mention is Chez Guy, and that's another place that, you know, you found, and Gevrey Chambertin. And I mean, we have had some amazing sort of, not modern, because that will bring up thoughts of molecular cooking, but sort of a more up-to-date version of some classic dishes and some very traditional dishes as well. I feel like that chef is very forward-thinking, and he really appreciates his region.
If you're in Gevrey Chambertin, you have to do certain dishes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the beef cheeks braised for 12 hours in Gevrey Chambertin wine.
Good.
The lentil soup, mm-hmm. with the little foie gras creme fraiche business that, mm-hmm. that garnishes that. The
jambon.
The jambon pressier, which that's
it's the best I've ever had.
That's my holy grail Burgundian dish.
Yep. Yes.
And it doesn't sound sexy. I mean, it's fresh ham that's like lightly smoked in straw, and then essentially pickled in aspic with garlic and lots of parsley.
It's delicious.
Right? Well, that doesn't sound sexy.
No.
It's unbelievable.
And
sexy.
One of the other hotels, since we are talking about hotels, and this is not a family-owned, as you were talking about, but Le Cep is in Beaune, and we always stay there. All the rooms are different. It's so much fun to stay there, especially if you're there in the wintertime. They have a great fireplace in their sort of public space.
Sort of great room, yeah.
Yeah, great room.
Le Cep, that's three buildings, all from like the 1630s, 1640s, that they bought sort of cobbled together, and every room is different.
It's a very special place. I love Le Cep. And that's another town, like the cheese shop in town there. Obviously, it's close to Dijon, so you can buy mustards in the shops there. But there's a cheese shop in the center village that is, and there are bookshops that are there, and I've gotten old cookbooks. I mean, and then, of course, the old hospice is there, and that's a really amazing piece of architecture.
That's a great place to visit.
Right. So there's a lot to do in Beaune as well, on your way to some little village or you know, perhaps going to taste.
It's a center we're going to visit in a lot of different wine villages, but they're also the offices and sort of visiting for some of the bigger négociants for good quality, like Drouin or Latour are there in Beaune. So it's relatively easy to find plenty to do. It's a very walkable town. When we come back on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine, we're going to get into Paris, and we're going to watch Cindy jump up and down and say woohoo, thinking about Paris, because that is the one big city that she loves. And my sort of quirky list of odd hotels and places that you really haven't heard about visiting in Europe.
Very good.
On Formula Wolf on Food and Wine on WYPR.